Makos per Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, 3:3. The Mishnah continues to itemize some of the mitzvahs for which the penalty would be makos lashes. It says, Ha'ochel bikurim ad shlo kara alehen. One who eats bikurim, the first fruits, before having recited over them. That's a literal translation. We're talking here about the first fruits that grow of the Shiva Saminim, the seven different species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised. So there's an obligation every year that one should bring his firsts, olives, figs, dates, grapes, pomegranates, up to Yerushalayim and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're in a basket, and present to the Kohen. He would recite certain psukim expressing his gratitude. Those are the psukim that really we darshan also at the Pesach Seder and the Haggadah, starting from the pasuk which begins Arami Ovid Avi, the Aramean who attempted to kill my father. And it's the next six, those six psukim. So there's an obligation to recite those, and then one would take the basket that's containing the first fruits, the bikurim, put them on the ground beside the mizbeach, the altar, and then the Kohen would take possession of them, and the Kohen would eat them. Now, our Mishnah is saying that if the Kohen would eat the bikurim that's been presented prior to the recitation of those verses of expression of thanks, assuming again that the fruits have the obligation to have the verses recited over them, so then the Kohen would be subject to the penalty of makos. This is actually machlokas. That's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. The Chacham disagree, and the halacha follows the Chacham, so this Mishnah is not lahalacha. The sheet of the Chacham, which is not presented here in our Mishnah, is that the technical prohibition for which one would get malchus is not eating the bikurim by the Kohen prior to the recitation, but rather prior to the basket being placed down next to the mizbeach. So the point is, if a person put the fruits down next to the mizbeach but didn't recite the verses and the Kohen ate it, he actually would not be liable to malchus, whereas if he did recite the verses but didn't yet put it down, and the Kohen ate it, so then he actually would be subject to makos. Okay, the next case is kadshe kachim chutz lekalayim. Literally, this means one who eats the more sanctified types of food, the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the, literally it means would be in curtains. This is a vestige, this curtains thing is a vestige to the Mishkan back in the Chumash, where the analog is the Azara, the temple courtyard, and the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash. And the idea is that kache kachim, the more sanctified of the sacrificial things that one eats in this context, so we're talking here about chatas meat, asham meat, as well as shalmei tzibur, whatever that is, not for now, and menachos. So if the Kohen would eat that outside of the Azara, meaning even in Yerushalayim, but outside of the temple courtyard, he would be liable to makos. And also kachim kalim, the lesser sanctified sacrificial foods, umayser sheni or mayser sheni produce, I'll discuss in a second, chutz lachoma, outside of the wall. This is referring to the walls of Yerushalayim, the obligation to eat kachim kalim, which really we're talking here about things like shlamim meat, or like a chagiga, for example, or shlamim for that matter, as well as a toda, the mayser, the bikur, mayser, the bechor, and the pesach. Those korbanos had to be eaten inside Yerushalayim. So if you're bringing your korban pesach, which you eat it, back at the hotel outside the walls of Jerusalem, so that would be a penalty of makos. That's a lav. The ma'aser sheni here we're talking about here is the second tithe, as you know. That means in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle, after giving Truma Gadol to the Kohen and ma'aser Rishon to the Levi, one separates ma'aser sheni, the second tithe, and brings it to Yerushalayim to eat over there. Technically speaking here, this would kick in the liability for makos kicks in if one would bring the ma'aser sheni food to Yerushalayim and then take it out of Yerushalayim and eat it then. So once it had been inside of Yerushalayim but now taken out again, if one would eat it, that would be a penalty of makos. Meaning, in contrast, if a person eats ma'aser sheni before it's ever come to Yerushalayim, there's no makos penalty. Next you have hashover esa etzem bepesach hatahor. Again, literally that means one who breaks the bone of the pesach, the korban pesach, HaTahor, that's a Tahor Korban Pesach, that's a literal translation. What this means is if you have essentially a valid Korban Pesach, and HaTahor here refers to the fact that there is the possibility, unlike all other Korbanos, if the majority of Klal Yisrael is actually Tameh, from a Tumas Meis, it's still permitted to bring the Korban Pesach in a state of Tumah. That's very unusual. The point is that such a Korban Pesach would not be subject to this Isser of Shviras Etzem, breaking the bone. But then, loosely speaking, Hatar, just beyond that, means a valid Korban Pesach. If one breaks the bone, so then that's an Isser Doraisa, for which the penalty is Malchus. As always, with Edom and Hasra, we have to have warning ahead of time. It says Ha Etzem, the bone, because it means a bone of significance, meaning a bone that has a kazayas, an olive's amount of meat attached to it, or a bone that has marrow inside of it, but tiny little bones that have neither marrow nor meat attached, to break those bones is not punishable by Malchus. So all those things, Harei ze loke arbaim, all those things, the punishment is 40 lashes, midoraisa, which means 39, actually. Aval, in contrast, hamosir betahor, if one leaves over meat from a korban that is tahor, this is specifically from the korban Pesach, because you're not allowed to eat the korban Pesach meat till the morning. If one does that, because there's a mitzvah to, the Torah says you shall not leave over the meat until the morning. You can't leave over meat till the morning. But if you do, still, there won't be a punishment of Malchus, just as Vashovar Batame, if one breaks the bone of a Tame Korban. So let me talk about the Tame Korban is simple. Tame Korban Pesach is simple enough. It means if the Korban Pesach either is brought Batuma, or if it was invalidated because it was not one of the years where the majority of clauses were Tame, but you brought a Korban Pesach in a situation where it's invalid because it became Tame before you offered it. It's an invalid Korban, and therefore you're breaking the bones, not a problem. The main Chiddush here is talking about the leaving over the meat. Now, leaving over the meat, while it's a lav, it's not punishable by Malchus, and that's for two separate reasons, okay? One is that it's what's called a lav she'ein bo maisa. It's a prohibition that doesn't get contravened by some particular act. In other words, what did this guy do to violate the Isser of not leaving over meat till the morning? He didn't do anything. He just waited and the clock, buzzed and he fell asleep, whatever the story is. So he didn't do anything, but his lack of doing something is what the violation was. So such a violation, since it didn't involve the as positive action, then that is not punishable by Malchus. There's a second reason why, and that'll become the topic of the next Mishnah, really, which is this is called a lav hanitak la'aseh. This is a prohibition for which the Torah prescribes a remedy, a way to fix it, because the Torah says you can't leave it till the morning. Lo sasiru menu ad boker. But then it says, if you do leave it till the morning and the meat's not consumed, then the Torah gives you a new mitzvah to remedy the situation. That mitzvah is v'hanosar mimenu ad boker, the meat that is left over till the morning, be'esh tisrafu. You have to burn it in the fire. So since there's a mitzvah to burn it in the fire, that's the Torah's prescribing remedy, a step two. And the rule is that whenever you have a lav nitak lase, a prohibition that the Torah gives, which it also gives the way to remedy it. So if one does the remedy, he then avoids the punishment of Malchus. So as long as the person does indeed burn it in a fire and destroy it, then he won't be subject to Malchus. More on that on the next Mishnah. As far as the shofar ba'etzem, breaking the bone, that again, betame, we're talking about a non-valid Korban Pesach. Since it's not a valid Korban Pesach, you would be exempt if you broke the bone. That would also mean, more specifically, if it's a year in which the majority of clauses are on Tameh from Tumas Mace and they bring it anyways, that is an exception to the rule of breaking the bones. And in addition, just so I should speak out, if one has a kosher Korban Pesach, but let's say, sometimes during the Pesach Seder, the lamb chops on his plate becomes Tameh because I don't know what dead rat touched the lamb chops on his plate. So now, that korban can't be eaten, but the bone still may not be broken. Meaning, even though it's tameh, technically tameh, to break the bone would be an isser, because the korban is a valid korban. Okay, so you still would be subject to malchus if you would break it in such a situation, notwithstanding that it says betameh.